And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, this show, goes like from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga and from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden and all the way down to that lovely little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border from there to Fort Benning, and then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web watching us live stream the show every single day on Rumble, YouTube, X, Facebook, and, oh, by the way, on our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then for all of y'all that podcast after the fact, hello to you too. Thank you very much. I say all that to say thank you to every version of our audience that's out there. Thank you very much for making this worth doing. All right, this is a part on a Friday afternoon where we set aside, just for a moment, the politics and the culture wars, and we take a look at things from a sports perspective, because if in case you did not know it, JP here is like a guru on sports. He says things I've never heard of in sports. I'm a sports fan. He's a sports man. So all that to say, he's also got his own sound effect. Did you like that, by the way? I'm a sports fan.
That was good.
You're a sports man. I just came out. But he also has, oh, by the way, his own sound effect, courtesy of sorority girls at Auburn. Hit it.
JP on sports!
Nice! All right. First round's called the three and out. Second round's called the two-minute warning. Three and out. Three stories. Go.
Well, so we got the MLB All-Star Weekend in Atlanta this upcoming weekend. This kind of reignited an old wound, though, of one of the most outrageous things I've ever seen that took place. So the MLB All-Star coming to or All-Star Weekend coming to Atlanta is about 4 years delayed. And if you remember, in 2021, actually, the All-Star game was going to go to Atlanta, and then MLB changed it to Colorado because Georgia passed an election integrity law.
And, I'd forgotten this.
And claimed that it was, so they assembled this coalition in the MLB, like the Players Alliance or something, of black MLB players after the George Floyd incident. And so that alliance apparently told MLB to move it because the Georgia integrity law was racist and infringed on, you know, minorities to vote in Georgia. It was the most bogus and outrageous thing. One of the most outrageous things I've seen in sports. Well, I mean, you got Rob Manfred making this decision, who is a joke himself. And this is the same guy that said the Astros cheating won't get any punishment. The trophy won't get taken away because the trophy is just a piece of metal. Like, this is who the MLB commissioner is. And so whenever I remembered, oh, yeah, it's coming back to Atlanta this year, I just thought back to how crazy times were in 2021 that the All-Star weekend was taken away from Georgia, and all the thousands of dollars, millions of dollars that would have come into Atlanta and Georgia because they passed a Voter Integrity Act.
That's back when, like, critical race theory and BLM and the 1619 Project and all of it was just peaking and holding the world hostage. It was ridiculous.
It was funny, though, because the Braves won the World Series that year, so they had
to pay. I remember that. It was like payback.
Oh, and when Manfred, karma. When Manfred was having to come to Atlanta, give him the trophy, like, he just got booed out of the place, and it was righteous. However, like I said, it's a bit 4 years too late, but I'm still glad that apparently now the voter law, the same law that's in place, isn't racist anymore. Apparently,
no, it's like, not anymore. It was only racist in 2021.
It was only racist in 2021. I'm glad to see it come to Atlanta, but 4 years too late, but I'll still take the win there.
All right. That's one. What's two?
So I think this is a very interesting story. I think it's a very interesting conversation. And this is an area where my two biggest things I consume kind of merge into one of MMA and politics. I don't know if you've seen this story. Apparently, next year, the 4th of July, we're going to have a UFC fight on the White House lawn. and it was actually confirmed by Dana White himself.
Dana White, yeah.
That this is going to happen. I actually have a quick, like, 30-second clip of Dana talking about this. If you want to play it real quick,
your call, man. Your segment. Take it.
This is crazy.
Ever.
So when something like this happens, I know you had the challenge of the sphere. What, like, challenges does this bring?
Tons of challenges. First of all, I don't even know how many people can get in, not to mention the fact that Secret Service isn't going to let a lot of people come do this. Everybody's going to have that background check. So,
yeah.
Whoever actually gets to be there live it will be such a unique, amazing experience in their lifetime to be able to go to this fight. And for us, when you think about when the fight is going on, while the fight's happening and we're filming, one whole side of the backdrop will be the White House, and then the other side will be the Washington Monument. So it's just, it's so unique, so badass, and so once ever, like you said.
What are ticket prices going to be like for that event?
Well, I don't even think we'll sell tickets to that event. Yeah, I think they'll all be comped. Yeah, it'll all be comp tickets.
That's pretty sick, though. Wow. The White House and the Washington Monument on the backdrop.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, what do you think about that? How do you feel about the White House and the, like, having a UFC fight on the lawn? How do you feel about that?
I mixed feelings. I mean, mm-hmm. part of me does not want to see the commercialization of the White House lawn.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see it be cheapened into an entertainment venue.
Yeah.
I also think it could create a weird paradigm where, you know, what if there's a national event or something that take, and all of a sudden you got the octagon set up right there in the middle of the lawn. I'm assuming they're going to still have the ability to land Marine One. But I don't know. I so mixed feeling. On the other hand, I love the fact that Trump is accentuating what I consider to be the edgy part of society, and rewarding people like Dana White who have been loyal and saying, let's do a thing, man. Let's do a thing. Mm-hmm. Is this like Trump to go, let's do a thing? What do you think? And so it's cool, but I'm mixed on it.
That's why I think it's an interesting conversation, because, I mean, I'm a bit biased because I think politics and MMA are probably like the two things I'm the biggest junkies on and consume the most. So like, if I could see an opportunity for that to merge, I'm like instinctively just gonna be like, that's awesome. But then also there's that feeling of is it sort of making a mockery of our, you know, White House, or in the, that's kind of supposed to be like sacred, I guess. And people have been comparing it to like ancient Rome, of like the emperor, like sitting back at the Colosseum and like, you know, no. I don't know. We still got a long time, a whole year. So anything could happen in the meantime to throw a wrench.
And it may also not happen. It's still possible. Mm-hmm. They might move it out to the mall or something like that. But they have events out at the mall all the time. But the other question I have is, you know, part of the MMA environment is the crowd.
Yep.
You know.
Absolutely.
And so if you have a good card and you have great fighters and who've earned the right to be there, but there's only like 100 people going, yay. Mm-hmm. Is it going to have the same feel?
I mean, there's the UFC Apex, which the UFC built during COVID to have fights and limited fans, which they're still using, and it kind of annoys me. But I don't know. MMA world has gone through a period of less fans and no fans. So I don't know if that will be a big factor, but I think the main factor of it is the mix of politics and the sport, because 90% of MMA fans are conservative and Republicans, and Trump gets some of his biggest crowd pops going into UFC events.
Yeah, he does.
So I think majority of the fans think it's cool. However, there's a lot of the MMA journalists that are not so thrilled by this and think that they're tired of seeing Trump in events. And
he brings nothing but notoriety to their venue.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. So I don't know. I think 90% of MMA fans are for this, but I do think it is a conversation worth having of like, is it something we should be for to, you know, is this making a mockery of the White House? Is it the commercialization of it? So I don't know. We'll see next.
All right.
We'll come back next year and see if it actually happens.
All right. That's two. What's three?
I'm going to keep talking about this story because I don't think this story's gone away. And I think it's a interesting story.
I know where you're going right
Bruce
now.
Pearl.
I knew you were going there.
Because every time we think the story's done, somebody says something and it's my initial reaction is like, okay, well, if the story's dead, then there still wouldn't be chatter about it. Because obviously there must be chatter behind the scenes about it. But you actually sent me this article of Charles Barkley saying that he would support Bruce Pearl running for Senate. Said it would be unfortunate to see him leave Auburn, but that he would back him. And I just think that, and it's like,
is Barkley a Democrat?
Barkley is like a old school Democrat / he hates politics altogether, both sides.
He's from the Barkley Party.
Yeah, he's one of those both sides are awful kind of people. But my initial reaction is, like I said, Barkley's not saying that if it's not like he's hearing something, but like that's not just something you say out of nowhere. Like, oh yeah, if he ran for Senate, I'd support him. Like, obviously there's something to the story. But then you also floated up off air the possibility, you know, he gave money to Democrats, so it's going to be hard for him to run as
Bruce
a Republican,
Pearl did,
Bruce Pearl. And will he run as an independent? And if he does, will he be a spoiler for any Republicans who run in the Senate race? And my initial thought of that is, oh gosh, this is a perfect opportunity for somebody like Doug Jones, Democrat, you know, while Bruce Pearl's taking votes away from Republicans, and then somehow we get another Doug Jones situation. And that just cannot happen, in my opinion. But On Three, or it was actually Rivals, which is another sports outlet, one of their guys predicted that Bruce is going to leave midseason, go run for Senate, and hand the keys over to his son, Stephen Pearl, to run it. Which Nike, you know, in their release announcing Auburn joined Nike, the only sport where they had the assistant coach be like the quote, like the person with the quote on their press release, was basketball, where Stephen Pearl was their guy they referenced instead of Bruce Pearl. So it's just like stuff like that's adding up of like, I don't know. I feel like Bruce is eventually going to run, but you know, he kind of put up a post saying, like, I love my nation, but I love Auburn more. It's like, okay, well, the story's not dying yet. There's still something to the story. There's still life to the story. So, I don't know. Could we see an independent Bruce Pearl run for Senate? I hope not, but, you know, we'll see.
Here's the other weird dynamic, is I don't think the residency requirements to run for the U.S. Senate are that stringent. Mm-mm. And he might be able to step across the line into Georgia and run as a Republican for all we know.
That's true. It's
Wow. It's I just started a rumor.
Yeah, they did start a rumor. So who knows? We still got time, but I find it interesting the story is not dead yet.
All right, three and out. There you go. You ran it right to the clock. Good job. All right, that's round one of JP on Sports called the three and out. We come right back, and I've got a timer and a buzzer. And he does a series of stories we call 2-Minute Warning. 2 minutes each. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just pulling pins on truth grenades. That's what we're doing. All right, we're going to the next round, the second round of JP on Sports. This is the one we call the 2-minute warning. Now, I've got a stopwatch and a buzzer, and he's got 2 minutes on each story. Just run with it, brother. All right, ready? Go.
So this story's crazy. So Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., the son of the legendary boxer who within himself is also a former champion boxer, he fought Jake Paul two weekends ago, I believe, and after the fight gets arrested by ICE for apparently being a member of the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico. This... I saw that, and my initial thought was, how did he get into the country in the first place? But then again, they probably let him come into the country so they could arrest him. But apparently, he's got, you know, like I said, he's within the Sinaloa cartel. But also, I saw a report that he's apparently like the guy they send to deal with people that, you know,
he's the enforcer.
I saw one of him having people as a body bag, and he just beating up on them. That's just one of the craziest stories. I mean, it's fitting in this, you know, the Trump administration. They're not letting anybody slip through the cracks that come into the nation. But he comes over, fights Jake Paul, loses, and then gets arrested by ICE. Did anybody in the world have a worse week than Julio Cesar Chavez Jr.?
Did they arrest him to charge him with crimes or just deportation? What do we got
here? I believe they arrested him for crimes. Like, there were warrants out for his arrest.
Wow. What a chucklehead to come across the border for the fight.
Yeah, arrogant enough to think that he's not going to get caught in. And so, yeah, you lose a fight and then get arrested and potentially deported.
That's a bad day.
That's a bad week. That's a bad, like, 3 or 4 days, especially losing to Jake Paul.
Wow.
Especially losing
Jake Paul.
Yeah, you lose to Jake Paul and get arrested by ICE. It's not a good week.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, you came in under the wire on that one, so I'll reset the clock and go.
Oh, man. The jealousy of the WNBA towards Caitlin Clark cannot be hidden anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
So the WNBA All-Star Weekend is coming up, and they had, you know, the fan vote for All-Star, which is the vote that selects people to be All-Stars. You know, the fans go and vote for who they think should be, you know, on the All-Star team. And Caitlin Clark set a record for the WNBA for votes to be on the All-Star team. Over 1.2 million votes for her to be an All-Star.
Oh, is this a fan base vote?
These are the fan base vote for Caitlin Clark. So set a record, 1.2 million. Do you want to guess where she ranked on the player vote? So the players amongst themselves also had a vote. Do you want to guess where she was on the player vote?
Not on the list.
She was ninth. Ninth best player on the according to for her colleagues. And you see that and you're like, okay, you can't deny it anymore that you just hate her because she's successful, you're jealous of her, something, because you can't deny the impact Caitlin Clark is having on the WNBA.
Please tell me a Brittany Griner and Angel Reese didn't come out higher.
Oh, I'm sure. I don't have the list. I don't think Angel Reese did, but a bunch of people were ahead of her that should not have.
I just saw where Angel Reese slapped the clipboard out of her coach's hands on the court side.
Oh yeah, she's her own. You know, I'm not quite sure if she's as bad as people are making it. I think there's a lot of trolls who are making it seem bad, but I do think she's not as good as she thinks she is. So there's that.
But Caitlin Clark is as good as
yeah, Caitlin Clark 100% is. So that's just. That stat right there, you look at one side, 1.2 million votes from the fans to be the All-Star, and then the players put her ninth overall. That's just mind-boggling to me.
But what is that? What does that happen to her? Does she?
Oh, no, she's still – the player vote doesn't have an impact. It's just, I guess, like a thing they do for fun or whatever. But it is telling, and apparently – I mean, that just – it puts it on paper, the jealousy.
There's your buzzer. All right. Wow. Good Lord. Caitlin Clark. All right. The story that keeps on going.
Yeah.
Reset the clock. Ready, go.
So we have a little Alabama in-state rivalry Iron Bowl football story coming up here. So there's a story with Hugh Freeze. You know, Auburn has been their fans themselves have been complaining that Auburn has not been doing the recruiting they think they're able to. I think Auburn currently is 90th, I believe, in the recruiting rankings this year, and below teams they should not be below. Like, they have much more resources than teams ahead of them. So there's been a lot of Auburn fans who have been upset about that. And then Hugh Freeze told reporters, he says, well, you know, with this new revenue sharing, we believe that we're doing it the right way and all the other teams are doing it the wrong way. And basically kind of gave an excuse as to why they're not recruiting as well as they should have. Well, AJ McCarron on his podcast, he let Hugh Freeze have it. The former Alabama quarterback, AJ McCarron, he said Hugh Freeze is full of it. I won't say what he actually said, but he said he's full of it. Said he's making excuses and that he's feeling the pressure from his boosters that he's not living up to what he should be doing at Auburn and that he's trying to save face right now.
All that would be true.
Which is, you see that and you're like, dang. And then you think every Auburn fan would probably agree with him. Every Auburn fan would probably agree.
Speaking as one.
Yeah. But it's like, wow. Auburn, like I said, has more of the resources than the teams that are ahead of them right now in recruiting. And I'm sorry, we have interpretations from our lawyers on how we should be doing things in this new era of college football. And everybody else is doing it the wrong way. That argument just it's just an excuse, in my opinion. And also, there's been Hugh Freeze apparently is playing a lot of golf. AL.com even wrote an article on it. He played 11 rounds of golf in June. Which is a lot. So you look at, okay, Auburn's struggling recruiting-wise. Hugh Freeze constantly on the golf course.
That means every third day he went and played golf.
Yes. There's got to be an interlink between that. So I don't know. Listen, the season hasn't started yet. Hugh Freeze can go and have a great season at Auburn and be fine. But this appears to be the make or break here.
I had to cut you off so you quit talking about Auburn. All right, you got a little bit of time left. What do you think? Can you reset the clock and take a
– we got about 30 seconds here.
Give me something.
So we have a SCORE Act in Congress right now, which is relating to NIL, that actually Alabama Shamari Figure is a Democrat, is supporting it, so I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing. But here's what it does. So it sets a national framework for student-athletes' rights and responsibilities related to NIL compensation, and it guarantees a range of student-athlete benefits, including academic and career support, health and medical services, injury-related protections, and grant and aid guarantees both during and after enrollment for Division I schools. So I'm not sure, you know, what they're. I understand they're trying to get a base nationwide something with NIL, but I don't know. Granting them all those, I feel like student athletes already have those services when they're part of the team here. So I don't know. More to come. This act just came up, but I'll see whoever supports it. Probably tell all on if this bill is a good one.
Shamari Figures supports it. That's automatically a red flag for me.
Yeah.
All right. That's it. JP on sports, man. That flew by. Great job, man. All right. We got more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, third hour. Friday coming up. We'll be right back.